So 274 will rise on the second, and Brother Frank Boychuk will lead us in prayer.
Gracious, loving, merciful Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Once again, we come to thee in this time of prayer to ask thee to grant us more of thy Holy Spirit, thy blessing upon the next hour, that we may be strengthened thereby and be able to receive the lessons that are necessary for us on prayer. Ask thy blessing upon our brother Daniel as he opens this symposium, and also on brother George as he further conveys the message in our praying for thy kingdom. And we ask the Holy Spirit to direct and lead their message, that it may be unto us an edification and a strengthening, that we may be able to further learn things that are necessary for our growth and development as new creatures in Christ. Ask thy blessing upon those who have to depart and leave at this time, that their travels be with them, dear Father. Thou knowest their needs, and bless them accordingly. And we pray not only for ourselves, but for all thy children, wherever they are, those undergoing trials, those who are gathered together in thy name in convention, in studies. Be thy guidance and leadings through thy Holy Spirit, that they may gain further strength and zeal and faith in order to make their calling election sure. And we leave ourselves at this time thy care and keeping, asking these things in the precious name of dear Redeemer, and asking forgiveness wherever we come short. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear brethren, we are privileged to have for the next hour two brethren who will conclude the symposiums that we have selected for this convention. And Brother Daniel Sharkovich will speak on hindrances to prayer. And he will go from 1:45 to 2:15, and then Brother George Wilmot will come up and 2:15 to 2:45, a symposium on praying for the kingdom. We've had Brother George in this area on many occasions and appreciate it very much. I believe it is the first time we're having Brother Daniel, and we welcome him into our area and look forward to his service. We appreciated the service he had on Height from the Cross. And we look forward now to his service on hindrances to prayer. So it's my privilege to welcome Brother Daniel.
Thank you, Brother Adam. It was Sunday morning when Brother Adam called me and he gave me the topic. Just before we were going to the meeting. And Esther came out from bathroom and I said, "What does hinder your prayers?" And she said, when things are not the best between us, it's kind of harder for me to pray. And I was like, "Why always is it about us?" So then I went to Apostle Peter. And I don't know, is there a conspiracy going on or what? I asked Apostle Peter, and was I ever surprised to learn that Esther and Peter were actually on the same page. And I it seems like I was just missing the point, because I have never actually taught that that scripture is written in that context. And if we turn our scriptures to 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 8, you will see what they meant. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. And then verse 8. Husband, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Isn't that interesting? I always thought that our prayers are not so directly connected with our life with our spouses, the way Apostle Peter put together. And of course, as you know, English is a second language for me, so I had to check what the word hindrance mean before I could even talk about. So the word means to delay or to obstruct something. But in this case, that word was translated from a Greek word, ikopt, if I'm not pronouncing it wrong, which means cut off or to eliminate something. So what could be so powerful that could separate us or cut us off from our relationship with the Heavenly Father? Apostle Peter put it very simply, another relationship, unhealthy relationship. Your unhealthy relationship with others can separate your relationship with the Heavenly Father. Now, does your spouse possess some sort of a mystical power or some sort of power that can take that privilege that we have away from you and separate you off from your Heavenly Father? Or perhaps it's not about our spouses. Perhaps it is all about our own relationship. It's not about your relationship with your spouse or your relationship with your friends or with your with the world or with any other relationship that we have, but it's perhaps about ourselves and our attitude towards that relationship, and our attitude in that relationship that we are in. And I think that will apply to all the relationships. And I might a little disappoint you this morning if I don't present you with a whole list of things that will hinder our prayer, but I thought that, first of all, the list could be so long that that will take us more time than we have. And also, I think that I will be talking to you from my own biography, that I will be telling you things that hinder my prayer life with Heavenly Father. So what I attempt to do is to look for common denominator, something that is very common in all our problems that we encounter, something that we can identify within ourselves, and this one thing could be very different to every one of us. And I'm hoping that by looking in our daily life examples, we can maybe find this one little thing that is causing all the problems that we have in our relationships, not only with Heavenly Father, but all other relationships. And if we find this one single thing that is causing all your problems with relationships that you are going through, then perhaps if you work on this one thing, it will be much smaller list to work on than the whole list that I could present you with. So I will encourage you not to be afraid to go deep into your heart and search for what is there within me that causes the problems that, that I'm encountering. And all of us, we are having the problems, and we all, you know, like to put the blame on others. But somewhere deep, we are aware that there is something within us that causes or stimulates others to react to our behavior in a certain way. Brother Russell is instructing us that we have three main adversaries that we have to struggle with, which is the Satan, the world, and the flesh. And forgive me if I maybe spend too much time concentrating on one of them only. Unless you give me an hour and a half, then perhaps we can spend on three of them. The experience of prayer is all in our mind. We don't see God face to face. He does not communicate with us the same way as we communicate with Him. We try to communicate with Him in words, but He communicates to us in a different way. Therefore, the experience of prayer is all in our mind. We might be verbalizing our prayers, but it's all in our mind. And our experience with others is also in our minds too. Although we interact, we hear each other, we see each other, we touch each other, but actually the true effect of all this interaction is happening in our mind afterwards, when what we have seen or heard or experienced is affecting our life. So therefore, I think it's very proper to consider the relationship in prayer with God, with our relationship with others. I believe that Peter wanted to show us and point out our daily life, and he wanted to ask us a very simple yet very essentially important question. How is your prayer life today? How are you doing today? Is your prayer life in some sort of a danger, or is your prayer life pretty good? And he's bringing to our attention a relationship that on this world is one of the most, one of the best and most intensive relationship as well, which is the relationship between husband and wife. There is many requests that we have in our lives, and there is many things that can hinder our prayer. There is many requests which are very urgent and important. There are requests which are even a matter of death and life, and there are requests that we have that are very insignificant and very unimportant, very minor. There are some things that we want really badly, that we will pay any price, go any distance. But sometimes we have something that is so strong that it's stronger than anything. And once you get that one thing that is so important for you, becomes your life, becomes your vision. And people spend their life for different purposes and live for different visions. And that's what is that burning thing that is within individual that drives us to go that distance, wherever it takes, and might not make any sense to anybody else. Do you remember a situation from your own life that you had some difficulties or some problems that you were encountering? And do you remember with whom did you share that experience? Do you remember, most of us will go to God and pray about this, but do you remember the person that you share your trouble with? We all have our difficulties, things that we will share with a broader amount of people, you know, in our testimony meetings. There are things that we will share with our spouses, but there are things that we will share with very few and limited people, or sometimes even with no one. Do you remember the quality of that one person that you share your thoughts with? What was the quality that person had that made you to go and tell him or her your problem, your heart-burning desires? And I will take a guess. Most likely it will be somebody that you trust and love very much, and you know that you will never be judged with whatever you say, or it must be someone that you really didn't know at all. It seems to me that we are free to tell our deepest secrets into someone that we love and trust with all our heart, beyond any doubt, or we could share with someone that we won't even see anymore in our life. But with someone who will take that problem with him or with her and go with that problem. The problem will not change, but it will be so much easier for us because we will be able to express ourselves. And to many of us, God is that sort of a person. When we talk to our Heavenly Father, we are telling him our deepest problems and desires and troubles. And the one thing that is so beautiful about talking to God about our problems is that he doesn't repeat this anywhere. He doesn't blow this out of proportion, and he doesn't just, you know, make this more prettiful, like my daughters are telling. They are making things more prettiful. He's not changing, distorting the stories. The story stays with him. And he answers to you. And you feel safe. And the safety of our Lord and God is that knowledge that we have, that it will stay with him. And if he will do anything, he will direct circumstances in our life that will lead us in the right direction. But we don't have all the burden of fears that will this leak out? Will anybody hear about this? How this will be repeated? Will this be all remembered? See, when we go through experiences, we go with our emotions and we go with our actions. When we repeat just the actions. The emotions cannot be repeated. When we talk to our Heavenly Father, we can tell him all. He can see how we felt. And therefore, his judgment is going to be quite different than judgment of other human beings. Very often we are afraid to even share things with others. We rather just to put on the mask, go on like everything is fine, just keep smiling, crying inside, but carry on the mask. We carry one at home as a dad, one at work as a boss or employee, one in the class as a brother. We just carry on, and very often we don't even express what we are having within our hearts. I wanted to bring to your attention today example that was given to us in a story of David. And if you think that this is a bit of an extreme that I'm going into, just forgive me, but I think it's possible that can happen to you. It's possible that can happen to every one of us. David was a very unique person. He was called beloved of God. And Apostle Peter is saying, wives, respect your own husbands. Now help me out with pronunciation. David's wife's name was Michal. Is that right? Saul's daughter? Michal? Thank you. It's easier for me to pronounce Michal than Michal. All right. And let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. David and all the house of Israel was bringing the ark of the Lord with shouting and sounds of triumph. Then happened that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Remember Michal, David's wife. Everyone's heart is filled with the potential to grow. Your heart is capable to love, but the same heart is capable of disrespect or despite. It all depends what you cultivate in your garden. We just came back from a beautiful farm when everything was straight to the line, that the wind was just whispering through the leaves. It's like, I wish we could just stay there. But if you ask Brother Alan, I bet he will tell you it doesn't come easily. As much as you put into that work, into that farm, that much you get back. That's the law of the harvest. We reap what we sow. If we put good things into a soil, we will reap a good and healthy crops. So every one of us has that potential. We are the soil. We all have that potential to grow, the fruitage. Our Lord is looking at us that way, and this is described in Songs of Solomon chapter 4, when it's described how Lord is looking at the church, which is us, and it says, "You are all together beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish on you." Now notice, he's looking at us through the robe of righteousness, which brother showed to us with the example of the handkerchief. "You made my heart beat faster, my bride. You are garden spring of well of fresh water." This is your potential. We have that potential to be called that, to be called beautiful and a garden growing, bringing fruitage and springing with water. But remember Michal, David's wife. Michal came from a royal family. She certainly loved David. And she was very faithful to David. She did not have a problem with being unfaithful to him or of any in this area. But all she wanted to have a little bit of respect and admiration for herself. And as a result, she showed disrespect to her husband. Just a little bit of pride and just a little bit of desire of something that was not pure in the eyes of the Lord, she has lost her favor not only with her husband, but also with God himself. David, on the other hand, a national hero, he was favored by God, he was favored by people, he was called beloved of God. He did not have any problem with pride whatsoever. He was very humble. David had a greatness that cannot be understood by men. In God's eyes, his greatness, he was above average. Often I think, what is in people that we admire, that we love? what was in David? What was the quality or ability that he had that we all would like to follow him and trust him and just go wherever he goes? He became a symbol of heroism. His star is still a symbol of God's favor and might even today. We all love his psalms. He wrote beautiful psalms. And he had this ability to put feelings into words and assemble simple words into a manner that touched us very deeply, and they could express what we really feel. Yet, if we look at David, in our eyes, he deserved to die many times over. In his life, David deserved to be punished with capital punishment according to the law of the time, and I bet according to the law of the land today. Husbands, love your wives. Jesus Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, remember David, beloved of God. David looked into a vast sky and his heart just overflowed with praises to the Creator. His lips begin to pray Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of the God. There is no speech, no words. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Acquit me of hidden faults. Remember David, beloved of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2, one other evening when David went out, perhaps to pray. He loved to pray at night. He loved to look into the sky. When evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof. He saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. Her name was Bathsheba. Now David has a problem. Bathsheba is pregnant. But David can handle many things. He has handled things before pretty good. When he was a kid, he could handle a lion. When he was a teen, he handled a giant. Well, he just has to have a good plan and go on. His plan, actually, he came up with a good plan. His plan was so good, he didn't even want to share with his God, because why would he burden him with problem like this? And his plan was so good, he wasn't even ashamed to send messages through messengers in a written form. He felt so comfortable. And everything was just fine. Till that old prophet Nathan came and told him that you are the one who deserves to die. That old prophet came and dragged that skeleton of David's closet and put it right in front of his face. Now, next thing that happens is David's and Bathsheba's child got sick. In 2 Samuel 12:16 we read that David was praying for 7 days. He was praying for 7 long days and 7 long nights. Some close friends tried to talk some sense to him, to pick him up, and maybe he should take some food. He refused to eat or drink. He was praying for 7 days and 7 nights. And on the 7th day, when he saw that people are talking, he realized that the child is dead. He arose from the floor. He washed himself, anointed himself. He went to the house of the worship. He went to comfort Bathsheba. And the story is ended in verse 24 with a very strange statement. Now the Lord loved him. Isn't that strange? He just committed adultery. He just killed a man. He lost his child. Yeah, we can sympathize with this. And now the Lord loved David. What was in David's behavior? What has he done that after all of this, he deserved for such a beautiful statement that we would fight, we'll dedicate our whole life just for this one single statement, and God loved me. I will do anything. Now, there was one thing very unique about David, that he faced his God the way he was. When he faced God, he did not put any makeup on. He faced God just the way he was. And God loved him just the way David was. David was not trying to find any excuses. David was not trying to make this story a little bit less condemning him. He didn't try anything. He just faced God the way he was. And the way he was, God loved him. Yet, God did not give him the privilege to take advantage of the grace. God did not give him his child back, although he prayed for 7 days and seven nights. Every one of us is carrying this burden of secrets that we have. And every time that we find someone that we can share this and tell without being judged or condemned or without being laughed at, we began to grow wings of our hopes. That our hope is giving us a wing to fly and live and fight and go on. We'll need to skip quite a bit. I got talking too much. Let's get down to the bottom of it all. In our relationship with God, when we need to choose between the impulse of our heart, in that very last moment, when something impresses us very much, if there is something that we desire very much, and on the other hand, we know that perhaps this is not right, there is this one word that we have to lay on our scale of what is right and wrong, which is faithfulness. Faithfulness is this magical word that saves every relationship. It will save your spousal relationship. It will save your relationship with your friends. It will save your relationship with your co-workers and your workers or your bosses. It will save your relationship with God as well. And if we analyze any problem, every single problem that we are facing, we will find out that the problem that we are facing today is just a result of everything that we have done till now. So when you look for a problem and you want to change your problem that is hindering your spiritual life with Heavenly Father, don't just look at the problem and resolve the problem today. Look what has caused for you to have that problem. When Michael laughed at David, he loved her. He loved her very much. At one time, he loved her a lot. The moment that she laughed at him, that she disrespected him, she has lost David. He had this void in his heart that had to be filled, and was just a matter of time. And if it would be Bathsheba, it will be another beautiful woman. If there is a void in anybody's heart, it has to be filled. And it's up to us what is that void going to be filled with. And it's up to us to what places we go, to what sort of surrounding we are exposed that would fill that void. Now we need to create those voids so that we can be filled. We have to create those voids so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit.
But when you create the voids, create the voids from the things of this world, so you can be filled with the things out of this world. But if you create voids in your heart, and you compromise things which belongs to God, they will be quickly filled with the things of this world. And your relationship with God will be jeopardized. Nobody can cut you off from your relationship with Heavenly Father, except one person, and that is yourself. There is nobody so powerful or possessing such a mystical power that can cut you off from your relationship with Heavenly Father. There is no spouse, there is no friend, there is no enemy that can do it for you. You can only do it yourself. We know this when we look at David. We know this when we look at Michael. She did not have the same thing that David had. In our lives, we have two extremes. One extreme is when we are ready to scream and call for help, when we are ready to beg for things which are important. And there is another extreme when we don't even know how to express and how to articulate our desire. So when we pray to God, don't pray with your words. Pray with your heart. He can read your heart better than he can read your words. The words can be repeated. Heart cannot be repeated. Lord, help us how to pray. Lord, help us how not to cut ourselves off from the relationship with you. And remember David, beloved of the Lord. Remember Michael. Remember the dead child as well. These are the two most important relationships that we have on this earth. Is your spouse, is your child. This can tell you a lot about your relationship with your Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless you in striving to do your best.